welcome to the CBS in Days edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're discussing Days of Our Lives, letting Deidre Hall and Drake Hogestyn go, as well as the departure of J. Kenneth Johnson. Young and the Restless has one of the best funerals in recent memory for Marge. As the World Turns, Luke and Noah, Tough Love's a Bitch, turns out. All this and much more on today's show. We hope you enjoy, so stay tuned. Mike, welcome.
Hi there.
Jillian, welcome.
Hello.
Melody will be joining us shortly. She's running a bit behind, but she will be joining us in time to talk about Guiding Light. So let's start off with the big, big news. Obviously, the beginning of the week, or the end of last week, it was Young and the Restless and that the amazing funeral scenes that took place on Friday. But Days of Our Lives pretty much trumped everything in terms of the world of news this last week. Obviously, we found out that it was renewed a week or two ago. I got my days mixed up, but recently we found out that Days of Our Lives was renewed. Then, in that article at Variety, they basically said that there was going to have to be some on-screen changes. And those are very ominous words. At the time, I thought, and I posted this on the blog, I wonder what that means. Well, we now know. J. Kenneth Johnson, who played Philip, could not reach an agreement on his contract negotiations and has cleared out. In addition to that, according to Soap Opera Digest or SoapOperaWeekly.com, the axe has fallen on Deidre Hall and Drake Hogestyn as John Black and Marlena Evans. Now, to be fair, I do want to just make sure that I read the quote in its entirety, because it makes it sound very much like firing, but Ken Corday also leaves a little bit of wiggle room. The couple will be happily reunited after a long period of angst and separation and will be off screen after January for an unknown period of time. It was a very tough decision to make. The question becomes then, initially, what is the unknown period of time? Or is this just a matter of they're going to try and pull another stunt like they did with John last time to boost ratings? Mike, first impressions in this whole Days of Our Lives fiasco with Deidre Hall and Drake Hogestyn.
Well, my first reaction is obviously that I find it quite surprising that a show that is completely having a tough time getting an audience where people didn't know whether they were going to be around long enough would actually take its most popular couple and ship them off screen. I can speculate on what kind of show I think that they're aiming for, but if they think they're going to keep viewers to watch Melanie's and all those kind of characters, then I think that they really have a misread on the kind of people that are watching. So it's a shock, but I also know since it's their biggest name, I don't know. I don't think it's a ploy, but they threw them under the bus to get some attention. That's not the first time they've done it.
Well, they did it with Drake last year. Renee Jones was fired, what, 3 times in 1 year? And Drake Hogestyn's now been fired twice. Right. Jillian, what's your take on it?
It's just a sad day in the soap world where Days would rather let go of some of their top people so they can make room for those just chewing up scenery that has nothing to link them to the canvas. I mean, it goes back to what I said last week on the podcast. Days is being really penny-wise and pound-foolish, and that's what my people say. And what that pretty much means is they're trying to – I can't blame Days. They're trying to scrimp and save, as all soaps are doing at this time, but it's at the expense of their viewers and at the expense of their vets. You know, you're sacrificing – them so you can save a few bucks, but at the same time you're gonna lose out in the long run. You're going to lose viewers. You're going to lose long-time viewers who've been watching Days faithfully for 20-some-odd years just so they can scrimp and save. And it's just tragic, and it just goes to show you that nobody's really safe in this genre.
I also think that they're manipulating their fan base a lot, because these are the two – this is the couple that gets the most vocal response whenever they do anything. They've always promised them a lot of airtime, reunions, all this stuff, and now it's that they're leaving. And I'm not really sure what kind of game is going on.
Oh, exactly.
Really? They think that people are going to tune in just to see them ride off into the sunset when they haven't even been able to give them a good storyline for the last 3 years that they've been promising them.
Melody?
Hey.
You made it. Welcome.
I made it. Oh, my God. Okay, yeah.
Rush, 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 so that you can share your opinions about The Young and the Restless and Days of Our Lives. Now, I know that you do not watch Days of Our Lives, but the emails and the instant messages that I got from you today when you read the news at Daytime Confidential, it was like, holy crap. What was your take on this? As someone who doesn't watch Days of Our Lives, what's your take on these firings?
Like you said, Luke, I don't watch Days, but I know who Drake Hogansing and Deidre Hall are, and I know who John and Marlena are, and like I know what they represent for the show. So when I get on DC today and I see they've been fired, I'm like, oh my God, what is happening? It's like Guiding Light a couple of years ago, what they did back then when they got rid of Grant Alexander and Jerry Verdorn and Liz Kiefer and all those other people. That's what I kind of felt like. I was just like, oh my God, people are talking about Guiding Light getting ready to be canceled. Well, look what they're doing over at Days of Our Lives. It's like a repeat.
Days better not repeat it and go to PPAC. That's a damn sure. They better not pack up and go to PPAC, because I will drive out to PPAC and protest that mess.
But I'm just saying, it's kind of like the same thing, like what's going on, but I couldn't believe it.
And here's the thing. Over the weekend, it first came out that Drake Hogansing was being let go. The rumors got out. It was finally confirmed on Monday by Soap Opera Digest. But the word was out there over the weekend that he was being let go. Mm-hmm. That didn't surprise me, considering he'd been fired almost a year to the date again last year. But I was talking on the phone with Jamie. I said, okay, the Big Four, if they're going to be cutting contracts, who of the Big Four would they let go? Obviously, Drake had been let go once before. And I told Jamie, I said, there is no way in hell they are getting rid of Deidre Hall. Boy, did I speak too soon. I would have thought, I mean, maybe it's just me, but I would have thought that in this environment, you would not fire your Susan Lucci or Eric Braeden. You would keep that person on the show and then rebuild around them. Of all the Big Four that I would have expected, of all the Big Four, Deidre Hall is the last one that I would have entirely expected to be fired.
Well, she's like the face of the show.
Exactly.
It's like Melody said, you know who she is, even if you don't watch it.
Everybody knows who Deidre Hall is as Marlena. Mm-hmm. Well, think of the possession storylines and the various other ones. You don't fire someone like her. I mean,
well, I mentioned this to my older sister. I'm like, guess what? They're firing Deidre Hall. And she's like, Marlena? And I told her and everything. And she's like, well, and I'm like, well, what? And she's like, well, it doesn't surprise me. And I'm like, why do you say that? And 10 years ago, in that same article I was telling you guys about last week, where they broke down the soap industry, it was like Soap 101 in one of the defunct magazines, we were really surprised to see how much money Deidre Hall takes home. Deidre Hall takes home a big chunk.
Oh, she takes a huge amount. Supposedly, yes, it's one of the highest in daytime.
Right, and I thought for sure it was maybe Susan Lucci, the guy, Tony Gary, and then maybe Deidre Hall. And, you know, my sister's like, Deidre Hall takes home a big paycheck, so if they're trying to budget, they're trying to cut corners, that shouldn't be a shock to you that they're going to fire somebody like that. And she hasn't had a really good storyline in a minute. And I'm like, well, you know, that is true. You know, they keep doing this push-pull. Like, Marlena's just sporadically all over the place. So it's a shock, but it really isn't a shock once the dust settles. You know what I mean?
It's not a shock in the terms of contracts. But here's the thing. Nelson Branco at TV Guide Canada, when the rumors were coming out about Drake Hogansing, went and posted an article, and I'm looking for the quote here just to make sure that I can find it. Let me see. Where is it? Okay, I don't remember what it is, but it was basically saying that they had decided to fire the big salaried people in order to and not go with the firing of the mid-level pay scale people. Now, I don't know how many people it takes to equal Deidre Hall's contract. That's none of my business. I'm assuming it's a lot.
A lot.
But let's be honest. I mean, let's just call brass tacks. There are a number of big name people who are not being used or not being well used on this cast, not to mention a host of young characters who
Melanie.
No names mentioned. Who could have easily taken the fall. This show is one that doesn't have a direction in the first place, and oh, yeah. to get rid of your anchor, I mean, what happens?
It's strange to me that they renewed the show at all if they're going to dismantle it with getting rid of key people and refocusing on, I guess, what I would call, like, lower end.
Well, I have a theory
cast
about
members
that.
And
I have a theory about that, but I'm saving it for the special Days of Our Lives episode, which will end up airing before this one, so it's a little bit confusing, so I can't say what my theory is, but I have a theory as to why that is. So if you have not listened to the special Days of Our Lives episode yet, be sure to check that out for my theory. Any final thoughts before we move on from this horrific news? Okay, wait a minute. Let me just go around the circle real quick. If no one is safe, if Deidre Hall and Drake Hogestyn can both be let go, and more are expected. Predictions. Now, this is not saying that who it was, but who you think it will be. I mean, in the context, you don't have any real information, but what would your predictions be? Two people, Mike. Who would the next two characters to go would be, in your opinion?
My guess would be Steve Johnson and Kayla.
Jillian?
Does it really have to be two? I really have three.
Well, there's a whole bunch that could, in theory, be, but just pick two.
I can say maybe Stephen Nichols, who plays Patch, and Joseph Mascolo, who plays Stefano.
Okay. Now, Mel, do you have enough knowledge of the show to make any type of prediction?
These are the only two names I know. I know Joseph Mascolo and Allison Sweeney.
There's no way that Allison
Sweeney. Oh, jeez. No, oh,
there's no way.
Stole my heart.
Girl,
like, I would have thought that the only two people you could never fire on Days of Our Lives would be Deidre Hall and Allison Sweeney.
Well, Deidre Hall is gone, so
I know that's
fair
what
game.
I'm just saying. No. If Deidre Hall's gone, everybody is fair game. Moving on to Young and the Restless, though, holy freaking crap! On one hand, you have this terrible news about Days of Our Lives, and at the same time, you have what is quite possibly the best funeral that I have seen in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Is by far the best funeral. I had shivers watching this funeral.
Leave it to Victor to upstage a corpse. I mean,
oh my God.
No kidding.
Leave it to walk into that funeral like a gangster. Oh,
you know, all eyes on me. Forget the person in the box. It's Victor.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Going around the circle real quick. Takes on the Marge / Catherine funeral, Melody.
Oh my God, Marge / Catherine funeral. That episode of Young and the Restless was probably the best episode of a soap opera I have seen in years. It was just, I like how they opened up with Marge / Catherine talking to the camera, like the breaking of the fourth wall. It felt like she was just talking to us, and she was like, I enjoyed my time and blah, blah, blah. And that was just awesome how they had that. And then they kept coming back to that, like, throughout the show, and then you have all the everybody coming back, and I like how they weren't just like, oh, hey, is that Nina over there? No, they just, like, walked on screen. It was, like, a total, like, you knew it was coming if you read the spoilers, but if you didn't, it was a total surprise. And then they had, like, three storylines going along with the funeral. There was, like, the funeral, then there was Nick and Sharon and Jack and Phyllis, and then there was Amber, and it was awesome. I love that show.
And that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
To be able to take a – and this is like what they – this is what I consider what they used to do. They would use the funeral as a place to thread all their other stories in and back out again instead of just having a funeral.
Yeah, it was
where everybody comes together and pretends there's nothing going on.
It was a funeral and three other things going on.
Yeah.
It, awesome.
Two thumbs
Jillian,
up.
Jillian, what's your take?
It was two thumbs up. I loved it. I laughed. I cried. I laughed because Nina came and just stole the show. It's supposed to be a time of mourning, and she's there with her little snide comments about Jill. And I'm just sitting there like, damn, isn't she still bitter? And then you have Victor. Like I said, leave it to Victor. Victor just upstages his friends, his quote-unquote friend's funeral. And Ashley just drawing the line in the sand when she decides, you know what? I'm not going to sit with my family. I'm going to sit with my new bed buddy, Victor. And I'm going to toss it in Nikki's face, too. And I don't care. And then what else? What else? What else? And Marge. Marge just talking to the camera. Oh. It was cool. It was cool.
Mike?
Same. I enjoyed Marge interjecting in the funeral. And I also liked Victor coming in late, and I thought it was hilarious. I actually enjoyed watching it, even though sometimes you could see what was coming, because there was a part where Nikki stood up and she said, oh, I feel sick, and I'm thinking, wait till Victor shows up with Ashley.
Yeah, I know. I thought
you're really going to be sick.
I thought for sure Nikki was going to tell Marge, move over, girl, because I'm about to lose it too.
Yeah, and I loved it. It seemed like Nina, there was like no time had gone by. Yeah. And I agree with the bloggers that I've read that said that they have to get this girl back, because she just fit right in as if she had been there the whole time.
I loved how she looked at Kane and she went, he's no Philip. And I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah. I was wondering how they were going to approach that one. But see, this all goes down to it, Luke. It can be done. If you write something good, people will watch it. It can be done. We spent the whole summer talking about it.
I watched that episode probably like three times. It was awesome.
And I would encourage any ABC fan who doesn't normally watch Young and the Restless but might watch Days of Our Lives and is therefore tuning into this episode, if you have ever considered watching Young and the Restless, go online and watch the Friday episode for that funeral and then watch the Monday episode. Holy freaking crap. Now, we have a special guest joining us, just popped in to give his thoughts on Y&R before we move on real quick. Jamie, welcome.
Hello, Roman.
There you go. Real quick, your thoughts on the funeral before we move on to As the World Turns.
Oh, the funeral was out of sight. I haven't screamed about a soap in, a long time, in a good way. Nina Chancellor is back. I hope they keep... And Catherine, oh God, Jeannie Cooper as Marge is a riot. I hate that they killed her off, though. It's like, dang, don't give us something awesome and then take it away. But maybe this will mean that she can show up as the ghost of Marge and call her Catherine. Catherine! Catherine! I'm like, am I back home in Texas?
That's what I was thinking. I know people that talk like that for real. So
yeah, Jeannie is doing the work of her career. I'm so proud of her.
Most definitely. I'm going to have a very hard time. I was telling them on the ABC podcast that I'm going to have a very difficult time choosing between Susan Haskell and Jeannie Cooper this week for my performers of the week, because both of them did such outstanding jobs.
I think at the Emmys, Jeannie Cooper better watch out. Melody Thomas-Scott might hire somebody to whack her knee with a lead pipe.
No one.
We're airing the Emmys on Daytime Confidential.
Exactly. Exactly.
Somebody left a comment and they were like, hey, Mel's a film major, she could do it. And I was like, seriously? If somebody gets me some cameras, I'm down with that.
We'll spring for the good paper plates, too.
Yeah. Give me some cameras.
Okay, moving on to As the World Turns.
They have the cameras in PPAC you can borrow.
That's right. That's
true.
Right. That's how we're tying this.
Like $5 anyways. So.
It turns out that romance and a gay lover can be quite the bitch, or at least so Luke found out this last week when Noah left him hanging. Now, before this podcast, I was saying that I thought it was cool because we very rarely, if ever, see tough love in soaps and standing up for what goes on as right. And most of the time, these people will basically rationalize their lovers' behaviors away and will side with them. But Noah did not do that. Mike, you agreed with me, but Jillian did not. So we'll go to you first, and then we'll hop to Jillian. What's your take?
I have to admit, when I first heard about the ballot box thing, I thought that that was a really good way of trashing Luke's character. But I did, on your advice, I waited until I watched it and found the whole thing to be actually the fallout to be worth the effort. I thought it finally gave those two a real conflict of Luke sliding back to his old habits, because it is 2006 in Oakdale, and Noah's still in 2008, and he's trying to tell Luke that he needs to, you know, step up, and if this is how you want, but it's the approach that Noah was going for all along, was that he was going to do the right thing, and Luke is so narrow, one vision on his gay agenda, that he can only see the end result, not how to get there.
Maybe so, it takes the bi guy to see the big picture. Just
maybe
sorry.
What?
Never mind. Yeah. Never mind.
But overall, that was actually played out really well, and I'm glad that Noah stood up for himself. And the bottom line is that Luke came off looking like a total jackass, but he has moments like that. That's part of Luke's character.
Now, I just want to pause for a second. Who was it that you listened to and waited to judge on it?
When you and Jamie and I were talking one night on Skype, we were chatting, and I said that I thought it would trash his character to have that sort of thing happen. And you guys said that I should just watch it first before, because it was actually better than it sounded like it was going to be.
Well, damn it. I was hoping to be able to accept sole credit for giving good advice for once, but apparently that has yet to be obtained. Jillian, what's your thoughts on Love's a Bitch?
It just sucked. I didn't like how Noah was just drinking from that Snyder pond of hypocrisy. Didn't Luke almost went to jail for lying for Noah? Why couldn't Noah just return the favor? I mean, pull a Tammy Wynette and stand by your man. Stop tripping. Luke was trying to...
I bet Tammy never thought that song would be applied to this kind of couple.
And I'm saying, like...
We're not going to talk about stuffing ballot boxes, are we? We're not going to make that kind of joke.
Oh, God.
The problem is that there's no stuffing going on this show. But
there exactly. won't be any D-I-V-O-R-C-E divorce because they can't get married.
Now, Jamie, the other topic that we wanted to discuss in the context of As the World Turns was fake Jennifer. I posted a comment or a picture on the blog just so that we could get people's take on it. You chimed in with something that a lot of people seem to enjoy. What was your thoughts on fake Jennifer?
I didn't like the real. This is the one time when I wouldn't wear the imitation or the real. I mean, who cares about Jennifer? I like that first little skinny Jennifer that screwed Bryant's cousin and got him killed, but I didn't like that other Jennifer. That little girl, Lucy, was the love of Dusty's life. He likes them young, though. I tell you, he's a pervert. He's a child molester.
Now, you just brought something to my realization that I'd not put together. Is this the same actress who played Reva in the movie?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I didn't like her behind on God Mike.
All the time. When
really
Victoria
like
Principal left Dallas, they brought in a fake Pam. They always do this hokey stuff. These people get paid $1 million a year for this bull. It's just.
And the worst part is they made the conscious decision to kill off a core character. And now they're trying to make some sort of story out of it that.
I think it's just a way to transition.
It's ridiculous. She's been gone for over 2 years now. And, you know, to bring her back this late in the game when everything seems to be going back in time anyway, it makes no sense to me.
It's just
they're going back. You know what? They're trying. They see the ratings and they're scrambling. Whereas YNR is getting back to basics, but it's giving us a new twist on all the good stuff from the old days. Yep. All B&B and As the World Turns are doing is going, okay, let's go back to what's always worked, but B&B, it actually did work before, but that crap that they're running again on As the World Turns never worked the first time.
Well, and the thing is the thing that did work in most recent memory was Luke and Noah in a really good story for them. And so far, It hasn't been that great. Now,
I mean, yeah, it's like, how can this ruin Luke's character when he threw his pregnant mama down a flight of stairs? If that didn't do it, you know, messing up the student council election, it couldn't do much for his character.
Jillian, Melody, real quick, what's your take on Guiding Light this last week?
Let me try to think about what happened, if there was something that happened on Guiding Light. I really don't.
You watched it for 5 days, so tell me something happened.
Basically, I know Lizzie's trying to prove Bill's innocence. That was the only thing that was kind of sub-interest this week. Not a lot happens on Guiding Light. Oh, no, I remember now. Grady, oh, let me stop. Daisy. Oh my. Stop. Okay. Daisy, oh, Dumbine, went and got back together with Grady. Now, like, I used to have a soft spot for Daisy. No, it's gone. Somebody just shoot her. Just kill her. Take Grady.
I hadn't had a soft spot for her since Brittany snuffed that role. That little girl. She's next. After we get rid of that Molly Burnett, she's next on the hair model list.
Well, Jamie, I have a very, very sad feeling. If they're willing to fire Deidre Hall, you know that Molly Burnett's going to be around for at least another 10 years. Should this
that's the future of the show right there, according to that one fan. Yeah.
Okay.
I have to say this for my Guiding Light people that I always think I'm so hard on them. I actually enjoyed the show this week. I don't know what it was. Maybe I was drunk or... Probably. Maybe it was Bess or Tess or one of my other personalities that was watching, but I like the Josh and anything to get Blake on my screen is good.
Could you believe Coop and Beth?
Oh, that was kind of hot.
I know.
Walking like a dog.
Okay.
Commenters, the best, had sent me a note that he was actually starting to enjoy the Guiding Light again, and I should probably tune in and out. I'm making some kind of comment.
The Guiding Light mic is are we going after those dirty copies? this is 1955. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Never dropped off.
Moving on to the bold and the beautiful. Jillian. Stephanie's hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy?
Yes.
That too.
Take it away.
Hippocratic oath. Hypothalamus.
Like I was saying, I just found it really funny as hell that Stephanie is getting all self-righteous and saying, "You little son of a bitch, I can't believe you're doing that to your parents. Hello, didn't you fake a heart attack so you can keep Ridge and Brooke away from each other? All he's doing is faking being a cripple. Give me a break."
Excuse me, though. I'm sorry. I was so confused. I thought we were talking about little Steffi. We're talking about big Steffi. Mm. Okay. That puts a new spin on it, because I'm thinking that little girl actually delivered that many lines.
Well, what's funny, though, is that this character... I know that Rick needs an ally, but he spent at least a full episode trying to convince Stephanie that he was right, and she was trying to convince him he was wrong, when all Stephanie has tried to do is bust up Ridge and Brooke for years.
Yeah.
He acted like Rick was doing something so horrible that he should never be able to live with himself for betraying his father that way, and I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me.
I'm glad that he called her out on everything. Yeah. When he told her, "You've been trying to do this, and I'm just helping you out." I'm just sitting there like, did Stephanie drink from the Snyder Pond water too? She's just acting real hypocritical.
Well, that's always been Stephanie. I mean, that's true to her character. I mean, Stephanie got knocked up and tricked Eric into raising a kid that wasn't his, yet she's always talked about what a whore Brooke was.
Ah, I know.
Now, that's going to bring us to our final thoughts. So, going around the circle, the wonderful world of CBS and daytime soaps as we know it this week, or CBS and Days of Our Lives soaps as we know it this week. Jillian, first up for final thought.
My final thought, I just love the way how Bold and the Beautiful is making Ron Moss look like Eric Estrada on that motorbike, looking like Chip, looking like Punch, right?
Now, that listen, don't be criticizing Chips.
Have you ever seen so much safety gear on a rider? Holy cow, I couldn't get over that.
Oh my God.
I can't afford
padding on than a football player. Jesus.
Mel, you're up with the next final thought because you just made me laugh at the Ron being hurt, or not Ron, but Ridge being sore assed.
I couldn't help myself.
What's your final thought, Mel?
My final thought, I can't believe I forgot this, but yay, Marcy Ryland re-signed with Guiding Light. Thank you, that Jesus.
That poor child.
Oh, Lord.
Big applause for her.
Okay. That's I love Young and the Restless.
Okay. Jamie, final thought.
Put Trisha Cast back on contract and watch my new show airing in the old days of our lives, time slot to Jamie Giddens Pop Farts Hour.
Good answer.
Mike, final thoughts.
Well, yeah, just loving the Young and the Restless right now. I hear from a couple of people that there's some good stuff on Guiding Light, and we've had a couple of good rays of hope with the other two, so let's hope we're on an upswing here. We're going to get some good stuff for a change.
My final thought is, if you have not read The Soap Executive Who Cried Wolf by our own blogger, J. Bernard Jones, be sure to check it out. It's a great piece to read.
It is very good. Yes,
it's excellent. An excellent piece to read. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long, folks.
Bye.
Bye.